And that's my Toby joke.
No, that's not the part you have to repeat.
Welcome to the Fundamentals of Community Podcasting. I'm Jim Cavaliers.
I'm Ben Drape.
And I'm Graham Byrne.
This episode is episode 11. It's The Politics of Human Sexuality. It was directed by which Russo brother?
Anthony.
Yeah, baby. Also, because you probably just saw it. It was written by Aunt Hillary Winston. Came out December 3rd, 2009. Episode 110 means nothing to you. And it went
isn't it
up
111?
A lot. Not what it says right here.
Yeah, season 1, episode 11.
The pilot is 100.
Oh.
101, 102. I was reading the production code. Sorry.
No, you're right.
And it went up significantly from last week. They have 5.42 million viewers.
Mm. Okay.
The
environmental science episode was
4.86. It went down.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like environmental science was like stirred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
you
makes
know,
sense because
words.
Of that that sexy goddamn song.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Somewhere out there.
You know, really like days after we recorded this, I like was just singing that to myself.
Yeah.
And by days after, I mean for like the rest of the day,
yeah.
And then also yesterday. I took a day off in between. I mean, multiple weeks off.
The plot of the episode is Annie and the Dean sponsor an STT awareness fair. Britta and Shirley help Annie prepare for her big condom usage demonstration. Troy and Abed compete to see who is the better athlete. And Jeff and Pierce go on a double date to the fair.
This is a great episode.
This is so good.
I goddamn love this episode.
Back in, I think episode 10 brings them back in their swing and they carry that through 12.
I think till 13.
I know.
I might even say 14. I love all these episodes.
What's 14?
Interpretive.
Oh, I like interpretive dance. I just don't like 13 because it makes me sad. Well, I guess it's
okay
then.
So a plot. Jeff tries to find a date to the STD fair to get back at Pierce. B plot. A doesn't know how to put on a condom after she's kissed. Nope. After she's asked to for the presentation.
After she's kissed.
There's no kiss in there.
There's no kiss in this
beating
episode.
Beating Troy at various activities.
I love the Troy and Abed plot
Me
line.
Too. I it's was just going to say that.
I feel like we're supposed to start with the A plot line, but all I want to do
let's
is talk about Troy and Abed. Yes.
Yeah, let's change things up a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, okay. I love how it starts. It starts with them walking like out of class down the exterior halls that they have in Colorado for some reason.
For some reason.
Okay, and they're like walking. Oh, well, it's a college campus, it's a quad. I'm just being dumb.
The outdoor hallways.
They're shut up. They're walking, and Troy tries to throw like a piece of paper into the garbage can from pretty far away, and he misses. And then Abed just stops and does it perfectly. And then Troy's like, "What? You think you're better than me?" And then like Abed's like, "No." and they're like, Troy's just getting really mad. He's like, "You stick to making weird cultural references. I'll stick to sports." and then Abed's like, "I'm trying to tone down my cultural references a bit," and Troy's like, "Well, stay away from sports. You know what? We're gonna play basketball right now." And Abed's like, "Sounds fun." Troy's like, "No, it doesn't."
It's a fun. And, yeah, they have a great. They have a lot of as Graham just quoted exactly. They have a lot of fun interactions. I think Troy.
There's some really good back and forth.
I love that as a first beat.
No, it's a great first beat. And if someone else has watched the episode, they also know it's a great beat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love. The
I could just stop, but
the character stuff that happens to Troy in this episode.
Yeah,
the character stuff. The character stuff.
Love that good character stuff.
No, I love. It adds like another persona. It builds off of the machismo thing that he has. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and it's not a, I don't know if it's an interesting thing to learn about Abed that he just happens to be good at everything.
I kind of love it.
Well, that's
I love
trait.
It.
That's a trait that you find is the case with Abed throughout.
Oh, he's just surprisingly good at things.
He's just really good at things.
For them being all good at like paintball or whatever, that never. I don't know. Never seemed like a. And then eventually, Abed's skills come back to play later in the episode. Which is a lot of fun, and which is a best bit, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't steal it this time because I don't remember.
This is exciting for me. You'll remember when I say it, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
But, Then the B plot is Annie doesn't know how to put on a condom after she's asked to for a presentation, which is so
good,
freaking funny. So they try and break into the dean's office. Well, they do break into the dean's office and
they get caught,
steal the fake penis so that Annie can pretend.
More continuation of the dean's sexuality at the beginning.
Yes.
Do you want to say it?
No, go ahead. I have something different to say. So
okay, I just was worried about stealing your thing.
No, you're good.
So, shut up, Jamie.
Aww.
So, I'm doing baby steps. So it'll be nice to Ben and me and to Jamie still.
Moving on up.
So, the dean talks about how Annie needs to put the condom on at the beginning. And then the dean goes, oh, don't worry. It's not a real one, but it is an anatomically correct model. And then goes, but in the dark, you can't tell the difference. I feel like that's not exactly what he says.
He said something along those lines.
That suggests also that it's locked in his office.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't...
Uncomfy.
Anyway.
So what I love about that bit is Annie's interest, but the fact that it's not like, you know, when you go to sex ed...
Yeah.
Or health class in high school or whatever, they've got just the dick.
Yeah.
But this is an entire body with a dick coming off of it.
No.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was just the penis.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong, but
That's so much funnier. That's so much funnier.
I thought it was just a dildo or something.
Yeah.
What episode is this? Is 11?
Oh, it's so much funnier to imagine that the dean has a full human man.
I'm pretty sure it's human like a body, but I could be wrong. But for some reason, it's in my head that it's a body.
Oh, I had it wrong. Is that considered large?
Yes.
The dean's like always been like oddball sexually, and it feels like kind of a punchline. If it was like just a penis, like I could imagine the dean like caressing and like rubbing the nipples of like a full body
man.
And like dressing it up. But like if it's just a dick, I'm like, oh, that's kind of a cop out. It's just like being like, oh, the dean's gay and that's funny. And that's like, come on. It's like, it's 2009. Like, really?
I just feel like at some point it's implied that it's a full body.
What in the reverse Porky's is going on here?
Oh,
I love when all three of them are looking at it. And Annie goes, is that big?
Is that considered large?
Is that considered large? And Britta's like, yeah. And Cho's like, no.
So funny.
Yeah, it's fun. That's a fun part. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about regarding this plot is Annie talks about a sexual encounter that is very similar to one that Allison Brie had at CalArts.
Really?
She wrote a story about it.
That's super funny.
How she tried to, like, she had a friend that was so worried about being gay that she had sex with him straight up in the closet, like in a closet.
Oh, that's hilarious.
In the dark.
To help him.
While they were high. To help him realize that he was straight. He could have sex with, or something like that. I'll leave a link to it in the show notes or the description.
Wow.
So it's kind of interesting. I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but
that's interesting.
I feel like it has to have been, right?
And I'm sorry that I am, within the three of us, the expert of Allison Brie's sexual encounters.
I'm not sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry you said realize straight.
Not realize she's straight. Like he's there's a better way.
I'm fucking.
There's like an innocence.
Confirmed
to it.
He wasn't.
Like, he was upset that he was gay, and she was like, well, have you ever had sex with a woman? And he's like, well, no. And she's like, well, then you don't know if you're gay until you know. And so she wanted to help him out.
How generous.
And then I guess we can move on to the A-plot, which is Jeff trying to find a date for the SDT fair, which is...
That's so funny.
It's so funny, and it's also so sad.
Yeah. He calls the numbers in his phone. It said redhead from car wash.
Yeah.
But then below it says car wash parentheses Maine.
There's a good, yeah.
Is that what you were going to say?
No, there's a good Britta overlap here, which I really appreciate.
Yes.
This is mostly Jeff's journey, but Britta comes in and whips him into shape in an awesome way because she is still in many ways the apple of his eye. That's such a cheesy way to phrase
no,
it.
I love
right.
that you said apple of his eye unironically. That makes me so happy.
Which is really a Ben Drape thing to do.
It is.
Thanks, guys.
So
I think.
Pure.
I assume.
But I just think that that's like, of all the people to tell him, stop being an idiot and name people in your phone, which, by the way, is such a dumb conflict to have.
Yeah.
Like, the conflict of this episode is that Jeff doesn't write down names in his phone. When
that's
you really think about that's it, true. That's the conflict of the A-plot.
Britta
which I
is
find
still
hilarious.
In his phone with Hot Blonde from
yes.
Spanish
and
class.
That is also hilarious to me. Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, I really want to know what the rest of the study group is
yeah.
in Jeff's phone.
That's
yeah.
really funny. You're
like,
right. Yeah.
I'm so curious, like, what Annie is, and then more importantly, like, what Pierce and Troy
yeah.
and Abed are.
I think,
like, I feel like Abed's would just be like, I see the use for you, or kid, I see the use for. Or some dumb
he also,
shit like that.
Jeff also calls him Brown Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't be surprised if that was his.
That was his
contact. Which is such a great. Oh,
that's
I love that
so
moment.
Because
he's like, whatever you say, Brown Jamie Lee Curtis. And then he does a little. And then Abed does a little.
Yep.
It's great. It's a fun one. I don't know. It's not in
wait,
this episode.
Wait, Abed calls him something first. He's
I forget
like.
Forget what it is.
It's not yeah. in this episode.
And he's like, whatever you say. Yeah, I know.
Is it Jean-Claude Van Overbite? We should really start learning people's names.
I agree with Brown Jamie Lee Curtis.
there it is.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's actually kind of a subtle callback to Jeff
yeah.
and his
yeah.
not
knowing
people's
names.
Name.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because it's like kind of like he's made no character
made no
progress at
all,
this
and
point.
He does it again in season 5 when he has his first day teaching. Spoiler alert, he becomes
that's
a
fine.
Teacher at Greendale.
Really? That's
yeah.
so
oh,
funny.
I forgot about that. Bingo card, Jamie mentioned season 5.
There you go. I love season 5. Jeff becomes a teacher. It's a great episode. And he has these, and he's like, he has all these students, and he's like, all right, ski cap. And then he's naming all, like, and then, a black kid raises his hand, and he's like, let's start learning names.
Oh,
it's fun.
Gets,
that's really funny.
And I think, and Pierce outsmarts Jeff in this episode, which I find super funny because he has a sense of
ugh.
Jeff's character almost.
He does and he doesn't.
I think he does.
He does and then he doesn't, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He does, and then in many ways, Jeff is the reason why Pierce loses his.
Yes. Because Jeff and Doreen hit it off, baby.
Yeah, but more important. I mean, yes, but more importantly, Jeff makes Doreen realize that she is.
She's better than Pierce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Pierce outsmarts Jeff until Jeff outsmarts Pierce. Or rather, not outsmarts, but foils.
Accidentally foils. Which I think is like more like within the story circle, Pierce, you know, he's paying for what he wanted, you know, essentially.
I think that's such a funny ending.
Pierce wants Jeff to join him at the dance, and he does, but it makes his date realize that she's too good for him.
But then it doesn't because he still gets a night of fun.
Yeah, and
yeah.
Jeff pays for it.
And Jeff pays for it.
And he goes, you just know, if I have $350, and he goes, how about I give you, I that's not the right number, but
he's
like, how about
it's
I get,
two, you know,
$200,
but $220
and
I can
give
you.
And he goes, how about, he's like, how about if I give you $250 if
you
don't
tell
me.
You don't tell me what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was like, I don't know, I liked that ending because it was really funny. And not where I expected the ending to go for
yeah.
some reason, even though it's Pierce and like, of course that's where the ending went.
Yeah.
But like for some reason I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really creative.
And Jeff is forced to like, not change, but he's forced to reflect on his own inner psyche almost where it's like, he's characteristically, not a player, but like a ladies man. Who just picks up women.
Yeah.
And Doreen really makes him look at that in a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
Best scene of the episode.
So good. They have really good back and forth.
I agree. She doesn't come back, but...
No.
She should have.
She's wonderful.
God, how funny. You can make so many good, like, escort bits with that. Like...
If Jeff acts, like, starts seeing Doreen or something.
Yeah.
That'd be so weird. Oh, my God.
That'd be weird.
I don't know how old she is. Probably
the same age difference as Jeff and Annie.
Yeah.
What else do we need to talk about?
I wanted to talk about a thing. Under the list of things I noticed, at one point during the episode, Danny Pudi does something like this. Like, he rolls his fingers on something. And I was like, wow, Danny Pudi's got really long, skinny fingers, and it kind of creeped me out. So I just wanted to talk about Danny Pudi's long, skinny fingers for a second.
He does.
They're nimble. I don't know how thrilled I am about that one.
We can move on.
I don't find it holistically necessary to discuss.
I disagree, Ben. I think it's super necessary.
I'm sorry. I thought you decided you were being mean to Jamie.
I am. It's sarcasm.
I was like, I didn't know that is. I'm like, damn. Like,
I've never noticed that, really, but now that I think about it, you're totally right.
Yeah.
And as somebody who is very a gangly boy, I love Danny Pudi. I think he's great. And I like his fashion in Community. I think he wears really cool clothes.
Yeah, he does. Abed's fashion is fantastic. I love it.
And it doesn't really change. Like, I noticed, mm-hmm. I was like looking at his outfit, and I was like, oh, this is very similar to what he wears in season 6. It doesn't really...
Consistency.
Yeah, I like
Probably had the same costume designer throughout the whole show.
Probably. I think everyone behind the scenes...
Didn't really, except for Dan Harmon for a season, didn't really change.
That's also not true. The directors shift... significantly between season to season, and the DP, and
so with TV you have a different director for almost every episode.
That's true. I just meant the in-house directors, because normally what you have is, and that's what Anthony and Joe Russo are, they are in-house directors who can be working on an episode all the time, and while you have guest directors coming in,
that's true.
You have two who know the format really well. In season 6 that was Rob Traub, Dan Harmon's writing partner,
buddy.
Back in the late 90s and 2000s until he wrote Community. And then before that, you have some other directors, obviously.
But. Yeah. There's like only, I can only think of one show that's like one consistent director for the whole series, and that's How I Met Your Mother.
Really?
Pam Fryman directed like
pretty much all
196 episodes.
Wow.
And then like Neil Patrick Harris directed one, and then like some other people directed one.
And that episode
is
a good episode.
What episode is that?
I can't. Okay, hold on.
Oh, I think it's the one where they're on the boat. And he's like, you fool around on your baby.
So. Running jokes, the security guard who comes in, comes back as a police officer all the time, and mm-hmm. I love him. He's hilarious.
Yeah,
he's really funny.
What's his name? Because I don't know if it's a different... I wanted to see if it's a different character, or if it's, like, the same character who then became a cop afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Parks is another guy who shows up a lot during season 2 as well. He doesn't have a character, but he's the redhead guy with the beard. In case you were wondering.
Don't know.
So curious.
He's credited as Officer Kukowski, and I love him so much.
The dialogue in this episode is consistently incredible.
It's very good dialogue.
I think the table scene of this episode is one of the best table scenes of the season.
I agree with you.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Has my favorite bit.
Should we go on to best bits now?
Best bits.
Best bits.
It's best bit time. Okay, this is maybe my favorite joke in the series. It's a 3-part bit that Troy does, where they're talking about Pierce's plans, and then Troy goes, taking a call girl to an STD fair.
So funny.
There's a joke here. And then he grabs a notepad and starts writing on it, and then like the scene continues, and then it cuts back to Troy for a second, and he goes, maybe something about crabs, they're food, but they're also a disease. and then it keeps going on. And then eventually Jeff's like, is that, to like something Pierce said, he's like, is that supposed to be a joke? Or no, is that a joke? And then Troy goes, no,
but this is.
Don't try the crab dip.
He goes, yeah. It's so funny.
I love. There's a joke here.
I love that he starts crafting.
I know
a bit. Oh, it's
he's writing it on his notepad.
He's writing it on the notepad.
Yes.
But then there's crabs. It's a food, but
also
a
disease. There's something here.
Oh god.
My best bit is also a Troy bit. I think this one made me laugh the hardest, outside of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Troy, Abed's running down to tell people not to use the condoms.
Oh, yeah.
And so Troy funny. Shouts, go, Abed, go, before people sex one another.
I also love, right before that, where the dean is like, Troy, I need the best athlete on campus to run down the PA office and make an announcement.
Because you
and
can't then, use a car, you can't.
Yeah,
you know,
and then
and then
Troy goes, I'm sorry, Dean, I'm not the best athlete on campus. And then he slowly is like reaching his hand out and he goes, Abed. And he goes, we don't have time.
Which is such a funny, it's because that moment is also like incredibly contrived. It's like,
it's tender and like the resolution to their plot. And
you know, it's a resolution to their plot, but it's also like, yes, they need the fastest athlete on campus who just had, and they just happen to have a race there. And the dean just happens to come to Troy. It's so, it's just so funny how like manufactured it is.
And then Abed's like announcement is like, attention, if you are having sex tonight, do not use the condoms we gave out. Don't use condoms.
It's, so I was gonna say, that's my favorite bit is the fact that there's holes in the condoms.
Yeah,
because that's so funny.
Because he prints
so
Greendale on the side, or he prints something on the side.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny that like this whole episode is building up to this STD fair.
Yeah,
and like you think like, oh, they've got it down, like they've got it under control. They're doing an STD fair; nothing could go wrong, and it doesn't go wrong really until. There's like, it's casually mentioned that the dean's like, yeah, I printed Greendale on the side of all the condoms.
Well, that's set up earlier. Mm. And then someone mentions that.
Right.
That's
why you don't print things on condoms.
Yeah. Then. Someone like is filling them up as water balloons and then they start leaking.
Yep. And I just think it's so
hilarious.
Funny. And then it leads into my favorite joke of the episode, which is the Abed one, the one that you just mentioned. Like,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, do it again and act like you came up with
this. No. Time. I bingoed it. I bingoed you. I'm sorry.
God. Yeah, no, I love this episode. It's a lot of fun.
It's a fantastic episode.
Yes. Now is it time for.
Tag time.
Tag time.
Tag time.
Let's talk about the tag for this episode. Remind us,
Abed
Jamie.
Puts Troy to bed. It's when Abed
so
is.
Oh,
cute. So tender.
It's so cute. I love it. It's so, and it's this great, they have this great little moment, and Abed is reading him a textbook.
Yeah.
He puts his little jacket over Troy, and then he turns off the lights and he's walking away, and Troy wakes up like, Abed?
Yeah?
Can you get me a glass of water?
Sure thing, buddy.
And it's so.
So tender.
It's so sweet.
So tender. I love it.
And it's a great little moment.
Great
and I guess it's also a nice moment where he's like, Troy spent the entire episode trying to prove that he's this machismo man.
Right, they spent the entire episode in conflict, and it's their first episode in conflict.
Yes.
Which is a big deal.
Abed's not even aware that they're in conflict, I don't think, though.
During the episode where Abed, I said no, and I was waiting for you to say, oh, Jamie, you're right, he has a, and then give the example, but you're not in my head. It's the moment, it's the episode where Abed pretends to be an alien. And to get back at Troy?
I don't think that's the same
they're
kind
not,
of conflict.
No, it's
they're
not in conflict.
Against
I don't even
them,
think they're
in
conflict in this episode. Troy thinks they are. But I don't think Abed is aware that they're
but
in conflict.
But Abed never actively
it's not
goes...
Like, it's not like Blanket Fort 2. But
yeah.
It's
I mean,
still...
that's the only time that they are... If that's the only time that... If
that's
the
only
kind of conflict,
time that they're...
Like, when Abed is actively against Troy, then yes, you're right. Well, then they never have an episode where they're in conflict
aside
together.
From
but
Blanket
I guess
Fort
that's,
2.
Aside... I mean, Blanket Fort 2...
Often Troy thinks they're at conflict and is like kind of mad at Abed.
Yeah.
And then Abed's
well,
like,
I mean, that happens a lot, but Abed, because of
that. I've noticed that's happening more and more in season 3. Troy's starting to get really annoyed with
Abed.
Because
they're building up to that shiz, baby. They're.
Blanket Fort 2?
They're building up. Or, I won't say anything.
Okay.
Pillows. Have you gotten to pillows and blankets yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what I think they were building up towards.
No, but even
conflict.
After that episode, like in the...
But
in the
that, which has got a great end.
In the Blade episode?
Yeah. Yeah,
there's
which is
still,
a great episode.
There's still... that's such
I
a
love
good
the C-plot to that episode so much.
Which one?
It's Pierce and Chang
become
best friends. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, so
I
funny.
Love this
and
tag.
And they have a whole arc and they never talk about it.
And then it's like, what
it?
Happens when we... what happens when we stop liking each other? And Pierce is like, I mean, we can just figure out
and the
out
best
when
part
there.
Is they have, like, they have
they
one interaction with other characters in the entire episode, and it's just they run into Shirley and Britta at the fair, or they run into Shirley
Jeff
and Jeff
Shirley.
At the fair, and that's it. And I find it so funny that, like, Pierce loses Chang and is just sitting alone on the park bench.
This is the last time. I love the montage.
Yeah.
That shows their 1 minute.
Yeah.
That
it's
they spend
so
together.
Funny.
It's great.
We'll
talk about it again, and I'll say the exact same things.
I love this tag. It's so tender. It's so Troy and Abed.
It is. And on that note, I think...
So we spent most of the episode not talking about Community.
How much?
We have 45 minutes, so there's probably at least 30 minutes of Community in there somewhere.
One would hope.
We'll find it.
We'll find it. Thank you so much for watching.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe.
Rate us on iTunes, which really helps us out.
Extremely helps us out. If you would like to watch along with us, use the link hulu.awkwardcreations.com and you can get a 30-day free trial where you can binge all of Community.
Just to be clear, you won't be watching with us. We're not going to be there.
Actually, I watch it all the time. You might be.
It's very possible that you will be watching
at least with me.
Yeah.
Me too.
Thank you so much for watching. We will see you next episode where we will talk about episode 12.
My favorite episode. There's a joke here.
This is the podcast where we talk about Community, a show about a show, and this is a show about that show about a show, or about shows in general.
Yeah, today, we're going to see how close I can drive Jamie to the brink of insanity.
We've already
begun.
We're getting close, baby.
I can't believe you brought your own lemon.
Yep.
Such a
Jamie always has water for us. So today I brought my own half a lemon. You want to know a secret, friends?
Oh, I want to know that secret.
I've been using this same lemon and water for about 3 days now. Ew. But if I'm being more honest, I started last night. But it's like my third glass of water with it.
So that must count for something, right?
That's gnarly.
Are you even
rolling video?
Yeah, I have been rolling video.
I
saw that my head was being cut off. But I realized Graham's just a sloucher. And so I incorrectly framed my head.
That's true. I can't sit up straight in these chairs. They're too comfortable. You still have your freshman biology textbook? You were definitely supposed to return that.
Oh, I was. I have all my textbooks over here.
Did you just have to pay a ton of fees when you graduated?
Nope, before I entered sophomore year.
Ooh. So they stole all of their freshman year textbooks.
Got it.
And I tried to give them back, but they didn't want them. All they wanted was money. Unsurprisingly.
Little bitches.
I don't condone use of the word bitches.
This is
step two in my plan to drive Jamie to the brink of insanity. Just call out everything that they say.
Oh, I can use that as a...
This cup is so small.
I gave Ben the smallest cup. Actually, I made Grim and Ben fight for the smallest cup.
And I won. Hey, Ben, could you fill me up with some more water?
Lemon,
it's 80% full.
That is full enough.
Jug. Break me off a piece of that fancy feast. It's a cat food.
Break me off a piece of that plastic snake.
No.
Rustic pen.
Big old cake.
Big old Ben.
Hey,
it's Kit Kat.
I was
bar.
Rhyming with the other one. I am so tired. For some reason, I didn't go to bed until like 3 a.m.
That was a mistake, because it is 9 a.m.
And we're recording for 4 hours.
4 hours.
Over the course of the next, few weeks, of course.
Fuck off.
Yep. I want to talk about my mistakes real quick. So I keep notes when I watch this show, so I have things to talk about. I don't sound like a dumbass, and I remember what
Sound like a dumbass anyway.
Yes, I'll give him that one. but I copied and pasted the statistics that I give. Not they're not even statistics. They just give like the director, the writer.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't have to go to the Wikipedia page. But
you forgot the plot. Didn't
I forgot you? The plot to the episode.
So you have to go to the Wikipedia page anyway.
You know, you could have just like. Gone to the Wikipedia page
and left
and
the
not,
link.
Not announced your mistake, and we wouldn't have known.
It's true.
We would have had no idea.
The character
Grimburn, sharing is caring, good sir.
Did you just take the entire?
I didn't want to have to like knock my.
See, but you do this it's thing right when here, you have right. access to water, Graham.
Where I drink all
where
of
you
it.
Drink all of it.
Yeah, that's true. I do.
Now I'm gonna have to compensate by just drinking more. Hold on.
Gotta stay hydrated. Keep the vocal cords fresh.
Well, this is cold water, which is actually bad
for your vocal cords.
Okay, well,
Grimburn.
Gotta stay hydrated.
Keep your vocal cords unfresh.
Who cares? Is that really true?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
I went to a dinner party last night, and that was one of the things that I learned.
You did?
Yeah.
I like it when you go to a dinner party and you learn stuff. I'm not even making fun of
no,
you.
No, because then you get to say, at this dinner party I went to, I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I also learned about how much this old white guy knows about murder rates in Chicago.
Is it a lot?
Whose dinner party was it?
Yeah. What dinner party were you learning about vocal cords and the crime rate in Chicago? The murder rate, sorry.
It was the Armacosts.
Interesting.
Yearly holiday chili party.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. It's a fun place. I love it.